The State of the Union.
The State of our Union.
State of the Union.
My fellow Americans, the State of our Union is
going to be fine.
Very, very public.
A complete disaster.
A little more honest.
Business as usual.
All this week, we're going to thinkers, writers, movers, and shakers in our State of the Union series. President Obama will lay out his agenda in the address to the American people tonight. And this morning, we're joined by Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty for his thoughts on the State of the Union. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
So one of the things that you have said frequently is that you feel the push for health care reform is a distraction from the country's real problems, and that you feel Congress should instead focus on jobs and the economy. Well, it sounds like that's what President Obama is planning to do tonight with his State of the Union speech. And I'm wondering, do you have thoughts on what you might want to hear from him?
Yes. And so let's just jumping back for a second to health care. Of course, health care is a huge issue, but it's a cost crisis. And what the Democrats in Washington did is push it as an access issue. And so controlling costs would have been a better way to do that. There were some good bipartisan opportunities to do that, and President Obama took a different path. But clearly the jobs and the economy are the number one issue. I think to answer the question of what would grow more jobs in this country, we should ask the job providers. And when you ask them, what they say is, don't have the federal government suck all the financial oxygen out of the room, reduce spending, don't increase it, cut taxes, don't increase them. Do health care reform, but do it with market principles in mind and cost containment in mind, as opposed to just expanding a broken system, and try to do things that will put cash and resources into small and medium-sized and entrepreneurial stage businesses, like, you know, cut the payroll tax for employers and employees. Those are some examples, but his focus has been elsewhere, largely on the health care issue, and I think people have just said, you know, enough with the out-of-control spending and misdirected focus.
Well, you know, those are all great words of advice, but Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota, you have yourself found that to be a very difficult thing to do in your own state. For 2011, they're projecting a $4.4 billion deficit in Minnesota.
Well, we have a balanced budget requirement in Minnesota. Currently, our deficit is $1 billion, and 48 out of 50 states have same or similar budget crises just because our revenues have gone down. But our budgets will actually be balanced because they have to be, and that's why I think the federal government should do the same thing. In fact, I've called for a federal constitutional amendment, so the federal government has to do what we do. There's no question that states have red ink, but the only difference between us and the federal government is we actually have to solve ours.
Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, in your state is the Mayo Clinic. I'm sure you're familiar with it, right?
Very familiar, yes. We're very proud of it.
And, of course, some of the buildings at the Mayo Clinic were built and financed by foreign leaders, particularly Saudi sheikhs who come there for all kinds of procedures. Under what circumstances, if cost containment could get under control, would you expand access so that everyone in the state of Minnesota could have access to the care at the Mayo Clinic?
Yeah, I think the way to expand access would be to give individuals or people who are not able to afford health care at market rates, you know, a tax credit or a voucher so that they could go into the marketplace with good information about price and quality and financial incentives to use the system wisely. But they would be, you know, given some assistance through the form of an individually based tax credit or voucher. That would keep marketplace principles in mind. And the heart of health care reform needs to be this. People spend their money differently if some of it is their own. And so if you give consumers good information about price and quality and financial incentives to use the system wisely, they generally do. So for people who can function in a marketplace, I think that's the heart of the reform. And we have to stop paying for volumes of procedure and start paying for health care quality. The Mayo Clinic and others in Minnesota have done that with great success.
For the State of the Union address that President Obama will be delivering tonight, we've gotten a few hints on what he'll be talking about, and we certainly have heard a lot about some of his middle class initiatives coming from the Middle Class Task Force. And I'm wondering what you think about some of these ideas that he has in terms of helping out the middle class, which has been struggling during this recession.
Yeah, of course, we'll see the details tonight. A lot of it is in kind of leaked or very generalized news reports. But anything that he can do that would be in the direction of lowering government intrusion in the marketplace, trying to do things to incentivize investment, business growth, business startups, adding jobs, you know, doing that with hopefully some awareness of how private markets work and some appreciation and respect for private enterprise, you know, those could potentially be steps in the right direction. We'll have to wait to see the details. It's probably a little late in the sense that we wish we had been doing some of those things earlier. But at least he's now admitting that you can't just spend your way to prosperity, and he's going to have to do some things to try to stimulate a private sector growth, not just government growth.
Governor Pawlenty of Minnesota, I got to say, the idea of less government intrusion in the marketplace in light of the economic crash and what went on at AIG and many of the banks, that can't be a popular message among many of your constituents.
Well, the message we're trying to convey is this. If for every increment that the government takes out of the private sector, it extracts or discourages private sector activity. So, if the government takes a dollar from you, Celeste, in taxes, it brings it into the government system, takes, 5% to whatever in overhead, and then redistributes in political parties. The government doesn't create wealth. It just extracts it from the private economy and redistributes it in for other uses. So keep in mind this stimulus approach. They said if you don't pass the stimulus bill, we're going to have 8% unemployment. Now, well, we have 10% unemployment. It really hasn't worked. And so clearly there's been bad behavior by some of our businesses, and we need to have new frameworks in place to try to better regulate in a more modern way some of that activity. But I'm talking about when you send a message to this market that at the end of 2010 you're not going to extend the Bush tax cuts, and marginal income tax rates are going to go up, and capital gains tax rates are going to go up, and we're going to add other financial burdens in terms of just crushing debt that the federal government is incurring because of their spending binge, that's going to usurp capital and energy and activity and entrepreneurial spirit in the private market in ways that are not going to be helpful to job growth.
Minnesota Governor, hold on a second. I-35, which runs through your city there in the Twin Cities and your state, was financed wholly by the federal government, and it creates wealth as infrastructure in your state. What do you mean the government doesn't create wealth?
Well, if you look at it from a macroeconomic standpoint, highways and public safety and lots of other things that government does is important. But when you take a dollar into government, you're taking it from somebody or something in the private sector. So that dollar would have been otherwise deployed, spent, circulated in the economy. We're taking it from that use into a government use, and so it just changes the priority and the use of the money, but it's not a net increase in economic activity.
I would say Target is taking my private dollars and doing what they will with those profits too, but that's an economic debate that is an interesting one for another time. I really want to talk about the State of the Union.
Well, but just on your example, you choose voluntarily in a market to go to Target.
Right.
And Target then takes your dollar and conducts other activities in the private sector. Again, I'm not saying government doesn't do important things. I'm just saying you have to understand macroeconomics. And when you spend government money, it just doesn't fall from the tree. It gets extracted from another part of the economy.
So let me ask you to do an important thing for us, Tim Pawlenty. The first is answer yes or no. Are you planning to run for president in 2012?
I don't know what I'm going to be doing after I'm governor at the end of this year, but I'm certainly going to speak to these issues as best I can to help my party and Republicans across the country.
Okay, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, a Republican elected in 2002, not seeking re-election in 2010. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tomorrow, as part of our series this week, we're going to ask General David Petraeus for his take on the State of the Union, and particularly the unions he's responsible for, the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. And Ian on our site has his own State of the Union in six words or less. Obama has squandered the public's trust. Paul from Livermore, California says, we're so screwed, oh, so screwed. You know how to reach us.
8778-MY-TAKE, or you can post it on thetakeaway.org. That's also where we want you to give us your thoughts on the State of the Union speech after you hear it tonight. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.